Okay, with the last word on page 1030, Perek Yudches Pasik Tes. Again, the class is in memory of Yechiel Issa Ben Tuvia, who's the Yortzei this tonight, and Shom Shalav and Aliyah. Okay, now starts this whole interesting few psukim. There's a lot of interesting things on it about witchcraft.
Is
witchcraft.
Magician.
Magic, witchcraft, Harry Potter. Now you know Harry Potter? Yes, no, you know. Okay, now you know. Okay, the pasuk says us like this. Kataba ela oretz, when you will come to the land, asher Hashem elokecha neisin loch, the top of 1032. Leisomid lases, you shouldn't learn to do. Lases kedu keteva sagoyim ha'im, like the abominations of the nations. So the Torah says clearly that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to learn to do, okay, what the goyim do. 1032. But Rashi says the Torah doesn't say leisomed, period, not to learn. The Torah says leisomed lases, meaning you're not allowed to learn any of the things that the Torah is going to talk about, basically witchcraft and all that type of stuff, magic, black magic, witchcraft, the various avodas that they did. But it says you're allowed to understand how corrupt those ways are and how to teach to your children that they shouldn't do what's called chukas hagoyim. But before the Torah even goes into details, this is a general mitzvah, by the way, that you're not allowed to learn, like it says, you're not allowed to follow in the ways of a goy. Anything that goyim do in a religious fashion, you're not allowed to do to follow. In fact, it's very interesting. The Rambam writes about a lot of negative mitzvahs. The Rambam writes shatnez, right? You're not allowed to wear wool and linen together. It's known as a chayk, totally illogical. But the Rambam says, because the goyish priests used to wear that type of garment. The Rambam says a lot of these things, like men wearing women's clothing, women wearing men's clothing. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says that one of the concepts behind it is because that's what the goyim used to do. So there's a concept you're not allowed to learn and follow the ways of the goyim. But now the Torah says various details. For instance, le'imati b'chom, and it shouldn't be found amongst you, what maver b'nei ubite ba'esh, one who puts their children through the fire. It's called melech. Now, earlier in Chumash, and in fact, it pays to even see it inside.
They use the daughter in fire, not the...
No. We'll soon see exactly what it is. If you go back... I'm going to tell you which page it is. Here. Turn to page 653. Back earlier in the book. The Torah says you can't put your son or daughter through the fire. But what exactly does that mean? So over here he brings down the explaining and
652.
Oh, okay, 652, the English side you need. Yeah. The Melech, if you look at 21, it's an interesting machlekes what Melech was. Melech was an idol whose worship, as described below, is prevalent in Canaan. In Canaan, they all did it. It is the only sin. See, over here in Vayikra, the Torah says about the sexual things which are forbidden, and then the Torah says, "Don't do Molech." What's connected between Molech and in forbidden relations? He says it's the only sin in the entire chapter that does not involve sexual conduct, but is included because, like immorality, its practice contaminated the land and led directly to the divine expulsion of the people from Canaan. What is Melech? It's mentioned here as an example of the idol worship that made the inhabitants of the land so contemptible. Okay. And maybe Melech was juxtaposed with this chapter of immorality. Okay. Now, look in the next column where it says, Leisitein Lahavir, right? It says like this. According to Rashi, you see in the second column, Leisitin Lahavir, The worship of Melech involved two sins, one by the parents and one by the priests. The parents hand their child to the priests, who in turn make two bonfires and walk the child between the fires. Which the Torah says, don't take your child. So what they used to do, part of the idol worshipping was, he gave the kid to the priest. The priest made two fires, and they put the kid through it. Rambam maintains that the parents present their child to the priest, and then return him to him. Then the parents themselves pass their child through the flames. Okay, so there's two opinions. Who puts the kid through the bonfires? But according to the Rambam, in the first interpretation, by the way, they didn't burn the kid. There are two bonfires. Either the priest put the kid between them, or the parents did. Ramban agrees, but adds that the child was actually burnt to death and consumed by the flames. So according to the Ramban, you know, over there when he explains Melech, they actually burnt the child. That was part of the worship, was they burnt the child. According to the Rambam, they didn't burn the child. They just passed the child through the fire. But they didn't burn him. It was in between two fires, they walked the kid. Okay, that's Melech.
The sacrifice, did they do it as a sacrifice?
They did it as a sacrifice. Yeah. See, Rashi says over here, they made torches one side on one side, and they put the kid between them. Okay? Now, the next thing, the Pasuk says, going back to the Pasuk here by us, Kesim Ksamim, one who practices divinations, okay, and I'll explain in a sec what that is, Ma'enein, astrologer, Menachesh, he reads omens, he reads these good luck things, and Mechashev, one who does witchcraft. Okay? So Rashi, over here, says, what is Kesim Kesamim? He holds his stick, and he asks the stick if I should go or not, and the stick would answer it. It was actually witchcraft that was a power. Or Ma'enein, Rashi says, what is Ma'enein? Which is after Kesim Ksam Ma'enein. Rabbi Kiva says, one that gives times. He says, this time is good to do this. This time is not good to do this. They lived actually superstitious. Superstitiously, it was a good time to do it. Superstitiously, it was not a good time to do it. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. The Chachamim say, it was Eichei Zeinayim. In other words, Echidayim is what we call magic today. Achiza Seinayim means not real black. You know, go to a magic show? You go to a magic show?
All the time.
All the time. It's a question of Aloch if you're allowed to do that, but let's leave that. I have a fight with all the guys always when they make magic shows. But Echidayim Seinayim means actually you fool the eye. Okay. Which is what it is, basically, the magic they do today. And Mechashev is actual witchcraft. You know, it falls from his mouth, or something falls. They actually make things, they make things happen. V'chever, let's see the next part. I just want to learn these two psukim. There's a lot to discuss about the whole concept. V'chever chaver. Chaver chaver is, okay. Chaver chaver is an animal charmer. He takes snakes and scorpions or different animals into a place and does magic with them. Shoyel Eiv Yedaini, one who inquires of Eiv and Yedaini. Rashi says, Eiv is a kishuf, that it's called pisum. You bring up a dead body and the dead body talks to you. Or Yudaini, you put a bone of a certain animal in your mouth and the bone starts talking. Or Deir Shalamesim talks to the bed, to the dead. And what they used to do in the olden times is the whole story in Tanakh with Shola Melech brought up somebody from the dead and they conversed with them. So all these things are forbidden. Okay, even one of them is forbidden. In fact, even what Shlomo HaMelech did, there's a lot of controversy why Shlomo HaMelech was allowed to do it, how did he do it, and basically, by the way, Derech Shel HaMeisim was a whole procedure. They starved themselves, then they went to sleep in a cemetery, mm-hmm. that the evil spirit should come upon them, then the dead body comes in the dream and talks to you. Okay? This is what the Pasuk is saying.
Ghost is the real...
ghost? Yeah. Only Casper. The friendly ghost.
It's allowed to do that?
What, ghosts?
No.
Cast. I can go dead.
It says
it's not allowed. Why
they...
One minute. So before we go further, if this stuff is real, if witchcraft is real or fake... Mm. Is a whole discussion that the Arutz called Gemara Pesachim has a whole, brings on all the opinions about, the Rambam has a unique opinion about this whole concept of witchcraft. But before that, so how do we go to cemeteries? We go pray in a cemetery.
In the morning.
Huh?
We go in the morning, not at night.
No, it doesn't matter.
Night, they say you shouldn't go there.
No, you don't go at night. But what the Pasuk is saying, the difference is like this. When we go to a cemetery, to a grave of a parent, mm-hmm. a grave of a tzaddik, mm-hmm. we're not talking to them. We're not Derech Shel HaMeisim. We're not talking to them. We're asking them, the neshamas, to be an advocate. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not davening to the dead bodies either, because you have to daven to Hashem. Because it's a holy place, because that's where, especially if it's graves of tzaddikim, or relatives or parents, or whatever it may be, by going there, you're asking them basically to daven to Hashem on your behalf, to be a good advocate. You're not davening to them, you're asking them, and that's what he says, Fister, how do we do it? Because through our tefillahs, their schus should be able to help us. What?
All is part of the neshama is by the grave of the person?
Sometimes, some parts. For instance, it's brought down in Kabbalah, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, the neshamas are not there by the grave. They're all the way up there. So going to the grave is, you don't do it.
It's part of the neshama.
The neshama, even though the neshama is in Gan Eden, it hovers over the grave, it still has a connection to the place of the grave. So there is a connection between the neshama and the place of the grave. Okay, when tzaddikim go to graves of tzaddikim, not us, but there's a whole maimer of the Mittal Rebbe, it's called Maimer Shtatchis. Okay, and he discusses the whole concept of when tzaddikim go to the grave of tzaddikim, what happens? And he says the highest level of that Hishtatchis is called tzaddik, you know, living to the tzaddik who passed away, is a greater revelation of godliness than Gilui Eliyahu. It's a greater revelation than what's called Gil Eliyahu. When you say certain tzaddikim have, Eliyahu Navi reveals himself, it's not Eliyahu, it's a certain level of Kedusha. It's a certain level of revelation, which the Jew gets. And by a tzaddik, going to a tzaddik, the highest level at that time is greater than the revelation of Eliyahu Navi.
I have a question about
what?
Going at night.
Officially, you're not supposed to go at night, but again, but the poskim, right, it depends why you're going, if you're going for one thing, if you're going for another thing.
Does that also include, like, when people go to the...
That's what I'm saying, today you can go to the oil anytime. Today to go to the oil, Rosh Chodesh too. Because it depends, it's not for now. There's a whole thing why you're going, if you're doing the daven, you're going to this, or whatever. Okay, that's number one. Secondly, one of the things Rabbi Kiva said was forbidden was ma'einin. What does ma'ainin mean? Ma'ainin means, why did I go back to there? Ma'ainin means he gives times. This time is good to do something, this time is not good to do something. But Shulchan Aruch says an interesting thing. You know, Tuesday is a mazel tikka day? Tuesday is a lucky day. Monday is not such a lucky day, because Monday is gvura, and Tuesday is teferes, rachmim, it's at a much higher level. So, and they discuss it. What's the difference between that And what Rabbi Akiva is saying over here, that Ma'ine means you're not allowed to say this time is good for this and this time is good for this. So one of the explanations is that first of all, these things Torah says. It's not that people make up times. Torah says that Tuesday is a more mazaduk day because Hashem said twice ki toiv at the beginning of Chumash. So that's number one. It's like another interesting thing. It says in the Torah, Loisaskidu alpana. You're not allowed to mention the name of idol worshipping. So the Gemara says, but you find in Chumash all the... So the Gemara says, an idol that Torah mentions, you're allowed to mention. Like Baal Pa'ur. The fact that Torah says Baal Pa'ur, you're allowed to do it. Because Torah mentions it. And same thing, the times that Torah gives that are a good time, like Yom Shabbos, you know, there's certain, or a person's birthday, it says Mazel Gavir, his Mazel is very powerful that day. Huh?
What is this? They go by a star, by, if they reach day.
Okay, so we're gonna get into the whole thing now. What's allowed and what's not allowed. Okay? And also, is witchcraft a real power? Is it a real power or it's...
Exists or not?
Okay, so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about now. Okay. He brings down, I'm going to read here because he brings down a lot of opinions about this and he explains it very well. Okay, the Torah prohibits, in quotes, our pasuk, by the way, this is an article in Psachim, in Arvi Psachim, and it speaks about the mazolus and the constellations and all that. Okay, the Torah prohibits a wide variety of sorcerer's practices. See, Dvarim Vayikra clearly condemns sacrifice to demons. The Rishenim dispute the object of the Torah, why it's forbidden. Listen to this. Rambam states emphatically, in all three of his major works, in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rambam, and Meir Nevuchim, that all forms of sorcery are sheer nonsense to which no rational person should give any credence. Okay? In his Pirush Mishnayos, in his book Rambam, and in Meir Nevuchim. Rambam asserts that the accounts of forces associated with certain planets and constellations are fabrications, built upon fabrications, invented to control the masses, and extract from them money and allegiance by preying on the populace's most dire fears. According to Rambam, belief in astrology was the first step down the slippery slope to paganism, meaning to idol worshipping. Thus, the Torah forbids certain defined acts of sorcery as forms of deception, empty acts with catastrophic consequences, leading directly to idolatry. Okay? So the Rambam says that witchcraft is bluff, lies, fake, no real reality to it. It's a bunch of nonsense that people made up. And they convinced everybody with their being naive that this is a good way to go worship idols. Ramban, that was Rambam, yeah? Ramban, followed by the great majority of authorities early and late, vigorously disputes Rambam's central premise. He maintains that the sorcery spoken by Torah is a reality. It's real. A person has the ability to marshal certain impure forces to do his will and achieve that which would be impossible through natural means. Okay? The various forms of witchcraft prohibited by Torah are different methods to engage in such pre-natural forces. Ramban's view is set forth in the commentary in Chvayikr and Devarim, is held by Rashba, Ramban, Rivash, Radvaz. Okay? Now, Ramban offers a concise account of how other worldly forces are used to accomplish one's desire. Meshe Chaim Lezuta presents some of the more elaborate explanation. Okay, he says like this. When God created the universe, he created a hierarchy, system that included angelic entities and constellations that would transmit his will step by step to the world below. Okay? So Hashem set up the world with constellations and mazolus and malachim. like you have each country as the malach in charge of that country. Okay. He also made it possible for a man to utter or combine certain divine names that would in one way or another affect the chain with wondrous consequences for the lower world. That means a person could, through these powers, could change the world. However, man is given free will, and thus he must at every level a choice between good and evil. God therefore created a system of impure forces parallel to his pure hierarchy that would similarly accomplish wondrous effects in the lower world. The methods used to appeal to these impure forces are the methods of sorcery. Okay? And Ramban argues, we cannot deny reliable, publicly recognized accounts of genuine sorcery. Moreover, he says, the sages clearly held the sorcerers was a reality. The Talmud is replete with references to sorcery whose plain meaning could only have found this approach. Rashba cites our Gemara, this Gemara, as one meaning like this. And let me explain. First of all, the Rambam is very simple. It's shtusim. There's no base. Oh, the Rambam says only idiots and fools believe in it, in sorcery. One of the questions they ask on the Rambam is from something we read last week. In Parshas Chayisara, yeah, after Avram married Hagar, but the, you know, after Yitzhak came home, married Rivka. Okay, so then he says like this. Avram had all these kids from Hagar again, yeah? And then he says like this. Everything that he had, he gave to Yitzhak. V'lefnei pilakshim asher la'Avram, the concubine, meaning Hagar's kids, he gave him matonis.
Everything he has.
No, everything he had, he gave to Yitzhak.
No, the money, the...
No. Listen what Rashi says. Shame tuma masalahem. He gave him over the name of tuma, meaning... Avram Avinu, according to this, Rashi, that he quotes from the Gemara, gave over to Hagar's children, this whole gang over here, Zimran, Yaksham, Adam, Midian, Yishbak, Shua, yeah, all this, he gave them over the power of witchcraft.
Not money or anything?
No. Then Rashi says, the second thing, the money that he got from Sarah with Paro and Avimelech, that he gave away. But the pasuk right away before this says, "Vayiten Avram es kol asher lo li Yitzchak." He gave it everything to Yitzchak. What did he give the Bnei Apilakshim, Hagar's kids? He gave him witchcraft, which means like this: Hashem created the world. Let's discuss the Ramban's opinion that it's real, and that the halacha is like the Ramban that it's real. Shadim, devils and demons are real. I mean, the Gemara tells stories that happened with them. There were people that actually did witchcraft. You have in Chumash, Parrot, Bilam, Balak. Yeah. Balak was even bigger witchcraft than Bilam. So, what's that? What happened with the Paris Chatumim? Chatumim Mitzrayim? They did all the Makis, almost they were able to copy. How was that with rich? In fact, they all ask on the Rambam, how can you say it when the Torah itself says? And I don't know if they answer or not, but they really ask on the Rambam's opinion that we see clearly in Torah, Avram gave the Hagar's kids witchcraft. The Chatumim Mitzrayim did witchcraft. Bilam, Balak, they all did witchcraft. What do you mean they didn't do? Bilam flew when Pinchas killed him by putting the tzitz, you know, he fell to the ground. Bilam was flying through the sky. It wasn't a drone. He flew. He was okay, so explanations like this, what he says a little bit, but...
It was a man.
Jetpack, what do you call him? Jet. Okay.
Superman.
So it says like this. Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world basically with natural channels. Okay, everything's natural, and it's natural channels, the way the world works. In addition to that, Hashem gave people the ability to change the nature. Like you could change your mazel. Right? Tzedakah changes the mazel. Tzedakah tells the story of Rabbi Kiva's daughter, right? A person has the ability, through Kedusha, to do supernatural things. Look, all the miracles that the Gemara talks about, the miracles that Tzaddikim did. at the same time, there has to be a balance between good and bad. As the Pasuk says, Zeh lo'umah zeh asa likim. God made one opposite the next. Why did God give Bilam, this wicked goy, this low life, why did he give him prophecy? Because if the Jews had prophecy, if in Kedusha there's prophecy, there has to be that power in evil too. If there are supernatural powers in Kedusha, you need to be able to have supernatural powers in evil. Because if not, free choice between good and bad are not equal. You have natural powers in Kedusha, you have natural powers in evil. You have supernatural powers in Kedusha, you have supernatural powers in evil. Now, therefore Hashem gave into the world the concept of witchcraft and sorcery and all the other things that the Torah normally forbids. Okay?
For Jews forbidden, not for non-Jews.
What?
For Jews forbidden, not for non-Jews.
No, it's forbidden for Jews completely. For non-Jews, it's not forbidden. Okay? Basically, in fact, you bring on the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, why is black magic called Kishuf? Machashef for all that? Because it actually stands for Machishim Pamayu Shemata. They contradict the legion above. Okay? And the same thing with the word Shedim. There's characteristics that exist in the power of evil to do supernatural things. So he finishes off over here. There's one point which everybody agrees on. A Jew should bypass such opportunities to know or alter the future and instead believe with perfect faith in Hashem that we're soon going to learn what the Pasuk clearly says. Tamim tiyam Hashem alakech. Okay? So this is the concept of witchcraft. If a Jew practices witchcraft, capital punishment. Bezdin killed you. In fact, there's a very interesting question, and one of the proofs they bring from this concept. Is the world real, or is the world fake?
Fake.
Maybe the world doesn't exist. Maybe it's all a bluff. Maybe the whole world is bluff. You ever go into, I remember it was once in the IMAX theater, yeah? You stand in the middle of the room, and they have the photography going all around the video. You mamish feel that you're in the middle of it. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see those things? Hello? Nobody? Yeah. You feel...
those places, huh?
I know you shouldn't. But it's all around you in the room, and it's going around, and you mamish feel like the horses are going to run you over. Yeah? It's the world. So the question Chassidus asks, how do I know the world is real? Maybe the world is fake. Because I'll give you an example. There's a pasuk we say it every day right before Ein Kolakenu. Ein Tzur Kolakenu. There's no rock like our God. The Medrash says, don't read it Tzur, read it Tzayar, artist. You know, a real good artist makes a picture look real. The better the artist, the more realistic the picture looks. So maybe God is such a good artist that the world looks real. But maybe it's not. So the Rebbe Madash asks this question in a Maimir, and he gives two proofs that the world is real. Okay? One is, because Torah says, Bereishis bara likim. Torah is emes, Torah is true, and in Torah's emes, it says God created the world. If God created the world, the world's real. How can it be fake if Torah is real?
It doesn't say fake or real, it just says world. Yeah.
But he made it. God created. If he created it,
created
that means...
a fake world.
No. If it's created, if it's fake, it's not created. It's a real world. Then he says a din from black magic, interesting. There's a Mishnah Sanhedrin. We said before the punishment for black magic is death. Yeah? So the Mishnah says like this. If somebody does real black magic, they get killed. Ha'eichei zeinayim,
And what is black magic?
1 minute.
And what's the difference between...
Witchcraft. One second. And then the Mishnah says like this. What happens if somebody doesn't do real witchcraft? They only do fake, like today's magic? So then they don't get killed. Okay? So the question is, if the whole world is fake to begin with, so even when you do real magic, it's fake. So how can the Mishnah say if you do real magic, you get killed, and not real magic, you don't get killed? If the whole world is fake, you're never doing real magic. So from those two proofs, one from written Chumash, and one from oral Torah, from the Gemara, the Mishnah, is a proof that the world exists. The world exists. A Jew is not allowed to believe in any of these sorceries or anything. A Jew has to run in the world the normal way of world. And that's what the Pasuk is going to say. We're going to get at the end of this thing. The Torah says a Jew has to be simplistic in his faith, not believe in the sorceries, not believe in astrology. For a Jew to study astrology, by the way, is forbidden. That's one of these things over here. One of the things... An astrologer is Menachish. I'm saying, one opinion says Ma'ini, whatever. But it's forbidden for a Jew to believe in astrology. Sefer Yetzira, so they talk about it. The good signs of Torah, the astrology of Sefer Yetzira, it says, in fact, they talk about it.
Yeah.
That is allowed. Because that's Torah based. That comes from Kedusha.
Is that why we don't say Kiddush at 6 to 7?
That has to do with the Mazalis, in fact. The constellations.
But not astrology.
Okay, I think we once discussed this, but let's discuss it again because this is where it's at. The Gemara says, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Jews don't have Mazal. Correct? That's the simple meaning of the Gemara. Ein Mazal Yisrael. There's no Mazel for a Jew. Mazel is constellations. Okay? So why do you tell somebody Mazel Tov? Mm-hmm. They have a baby, you tell Mazel Tov. Yeah? What is Mazel Tov? You don't have Mazel. Jews don't have Mazel. What are you telling a Mazel Tov? You got a new job, Mazel Tov. Mm. You came to Shul, Mazel Tov. If you come to Shul once in a blue moon, it's Mazel Tov.
Baruch Haba.
Baruch Haba. Okay, so it's obviously it's a contradiction. Here you're saying you should have a good mazel. Right? That's what you say. You should have a good mazel. And then you say, Yein mazel Yisro. So to explain, this is besides chassidus. This is even from the simple concept of this, of Yiddishkeit. It means like this. There is a mazel to the Jew. But a Jew is not bound by mazel. A Jew could change mazel. We said before, the astrologers, which is Mazel, by the way, the constellations, told Rabbi Akiva that his daughter is going to die on a wedding day. Because she gave food to the poor man, she gave tzedakah, her Mazel changed. Which means, Ein Mazel Yisrael doesn't mean that there's no Mazel for the Jew. It means a Jew is not bound by Mazel, a Jew could change Mazel. A Goy can't. A Jew could change mazel. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, it's brought down also in Kabbalah and Chassidus, that when it says, Ein mazel Yisro, which simply means there is no mazel for the Jew, don't read it, Ein mazel Yisro. Read it, Ayin mazel Yisro. The level of Ayin is the mazel of a Jew. What does that mean? The Pasuk says, or I'll give you another example of this. We say, it's in Tillim, but we say it Shabbos morning and davening. Shira malis, esa einai elohorim, me'ayin yove yezri. And the Pasuk says, ezri mi'im Hashem, eisei shemayim vod. What does it mean? Shira malis, esa einai elohorim, I pick up my eyes to the heaven. Simply, this is what the Pasuk means. Me'ayin yovei ezri. From where is my help going to come? Where is my salvation going to come? And the pasuk continues, Ezri me'im Hashem is going to come from Hashem who created heaven and earth. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. In Chassidus it says, it's true, that's what but it's deeper. It's not a question, it's a statement. Esa einay alahodim, I will pick up my eyes to the mountains. May ayin is not a question. May ayin, from the level called ayin, Yavai Ezri will my help come. My help will come from the level of ayin. Ayin mazal Yisroel, not ein mazal Yisroel, ayin mazal Yisroel. What does that mean? There's a pasuk that says, HaChochma me'ayin timatzei. Chochma comes from ayin. Which means, Kabbalistically like this, we'll have a class in Chassidus 101. The worlds, the four worlds, right, the ten spheres, the ten attributes, begin from the level of Chochma. Chochma being a das, and then the seven midos, and that what makes up the spheres in the world. What is the source of Chochma? Chochma is where the world begins. So the worlds begin from the level of Chochma. In each world, Chochma is the highest level of the world. What's the source of Chochma? Where does Chochma come from? So the pasuk says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Chochma me'ayin timatzei. Comes from the level of ayin. What does ayin mean? Ayin means nothingness. Nothing. Meaning, world, the ten levels of the world, is already the way the world is formed into a world of something. It's a ten levels. It's Chochma, it's Bina, it's something. It's Chochma, it's Bina. Even the highest field, Atzilu, which is completely bottled and nullified and subjugated to Hashem, it's still Chochma, Bina, Das, Chesed, there's a level. Higher than those worlds, there are no levels. It's all God. There's no definitive, defined levels. Levels begin from the level of the worlds, from Chochma. Chochma is the first level. Above Chochma, there is no levels. There are no levels. All it is ayin, meaning bittul, complete nothingness to Hashem. Nothing defined yet. The source of a Jew is higher than world. So therefore, if a constellation, which is world, dictates what's going to happen to you, a Jew is not bound by that, because they're connected to a level higher than the constellations, higher than the angels, higher than who knows what. And that's what it means, ein mazel Yisrael. Why is there no mazel for a Jew? Why is a Jew not bound by mazel? Because ayin mazel Yisrael, because a Jew is connected to a level of godliness higher than all that. And therefore the Torah says a Jew is not allowed to lower himself to do these even supernatural worldly powers, because a Jew is connected directly to God, and all those supernatural powers have no influence on him whatsoever.
Nothing.
Right. You're not allowed to do those things.
For like different months?
No. I mean, you can learn what it is, but you can't believe in it. Like we said before, you can't learn to practice it. You can learn to know about it.
Why they put it like the wedding in the Rosh Chodesh? They say good night.
I told you, that's Torah defining, not witchcraft, not people. Torah is defining the first half of the month. You know, nowadays, the Rebbe said, forget it. But it's brought down in Sfarim that people only got married in the first half of the month. In our circles, many years ago, people only got married in the first half of the month, not the second half of the month. Unless Adar and Elul. Adar, because the whole month is Mazel Dik. Elul, the whole month is Chodesh HaRachmim. Why was there such a minute? Again, the Rebbe negated this in his last years. The Rebbe said, forget it. Get married ASAP. Doesn't matter. As long as Halacha says you can get married the quicker the better. The sooner the better. why was it, there, is there an inyan of getting married in the first half of the month versus the second half of the month? Because the Jews are likened to the moon. The first half of the month, the moon's getting bigger. So it's a mazel dikatai. And then the second half of the month, the moon is getting lower, lower, smaller, smaller, smaller. So it's not a mazel dikatai. Okay. So then, again, all those, there was a, but it's Torah superstitious. Torah says it's, so it's not superstitious that's coming from powers of evil. It depends. If it's based in Torah, it's okay. If it's not based in Torah, it's part of this stuff which is forbidden.
Which part of the Torah writing the Rosh Chodesh is good? Which part? Which, I didn't see it. Where is that?
You know all the books?
No, I didn't. This is the first time I see this.
Some people say it's brought down in halachas that Sfarim talk about weddings. Talk about which days are Mazel Tik, not Mazel Tik, whatever.
Isn't Kislev also besides Elul and Adar?
No, the Rebbe writes only the 2 months is basically Adar and Elul, and sometimes Kislev is Hanukkah, but not, again, the Rebbe took off all the restrictions. The Rebbe said to get married as soon as possible. There's a story I mentioned once by Fabrengen. There was a chosid of the Alter Rebbe that was going to, he was by the Alter Rebbe, and he told the Alter Rebbe he has to pick up his mezuzahs from, there was a, in the Alter Rebbe's time, the Chabad Sefer, his name was Rebbe Reuven the Sefer. Rebbe Reuven the scribe. So he told the Alter Rebbe that he has to go get his mezuzahs from them. So the Alter Rebbe, do me a favor, he has mezuzahs for me too. When you go get yours, please bring me mine. And the Alter Rebbe said, but don't exchange them. Don't mix up yours and mine. So he comes to the Sefer, he gets his mezuzah, he gets the Alter Rebbe's mezuzahs. He starts looking at the mezuzahs, they're exactly the same, like the same guy wrote it, exactly the same. So he decided he's going to play a trick. He gave the Alter Rebbe his mezuzahs, not the Alter Rebbe's. Alter Rebbe takes the mezuzahs, opens up the first one, he says, no, give me mine. The chassid feels all embarrassed. So he says to the Alter Rebbe, like, what's the difference? What's the difference? The same scribe wrote it, same kavanah, same... The Alter Rebbe smiled and he said, my mezuzahs are only written when the moon is full. The Sefer for me writes my mezuzahs when the moon is full. The mezuzahs are exactly alike, he said. But this was written when the moon was full and this wasn't. That's it. The only difference. But there is, so therefore some people are a minig, but again, it's Torah-based time, so it's okay, but not all the other things. Okay, now let's see back to the Chumash. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis, and 10:32, the fifth line from the top. Kisev as Hashem, it's an abomination of Hashem. Call Yisrael, anyone who does all these types of witchcrafts and everything. And because of these abominations, Hashem Elokecha Meir Sheisa Mipanach, that's why God is throwing out the nations from the land of Israel. Basically, God is telling the Jews, listen, I'm throwing out those nations because they do witchcraft. If you guys are going to do witchcraft, you're going to get thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. And then the pasuk says like this: Tamim tihiya im Hashem alakecha. You should be wholehearted with Hashem. Okay. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "What is this pasuk?" It's different opinions what it means. Rashi says what the pasuk means: Tamim tihiya im Hashem alakecha. You should, like Rashi says, go with tamimis, go with simplicity. Don't look after the future. Whatever happens to you, accept wholeheartedly. That's the way Rashi says. Huh?
That's interesting.
Kabul betmimis, and then Rashi says, from the Medrash, then you'll be with me. God said, if you accept everything I do simplistically, with faith, whatever happens, then you're with me. Other commentaries explain, by the way, doesn't mean it down here, which is surprising. Some people say Tamim means the word perfect. A Jew should try to become perfect with God. Meaning like this. the more connected somebody is to Hashem, meaning the more mitzvahs you do, the more perfect you are. Because God is perfect. The more connected you are to Hashem, so the more perfect you are. Tamim tiyeh, if you want to be perfect, the perfect Jew, im Hashem alakach, it's when you're together with Hashem. That's when the person is 100% good.
So this is, I get confused. What? The first of the Gemara say is bad. The second part is good.
What do you mean bad?
The witchcraft or something.
No, it's bad.
The second part of the Gemara says not bad.
It is bad. Witchcraft is bad.
Rambam says bad.
No, Rambam says it's stupid and non-existent. It's baloney. The second opinion say it's real, but it's a koch of tuma. It's a power of tuma. It's bad for a Jew to get tummy. The only question is it real tuma or it's fake tuma?
It exists, but it's bad.
Correct. It's tuma. Tuma. Yeah. And therefore a Jew can't have any connection to it because you become tuma. What?
What is the example of witchcraft? What is it?
They used to make things appear. They used to be able to walk on water. They used to be able to do a lot of things.
David Kapperman in Las Vegas, they do that.
That's magic. No.
So, Rabbi will write you the name of them on
a Kameya.
Yeah.
Amulet, it's called.
Amulet, right. What is
but that's Torah.
That's Torah. But you believe that somebody's going to change your mother? So
no,
you
it's
yourself.
Just, Torah says, having this in your possession will bring you mazel because it's a holy thing that you're carrying around with you. It's the opposite of tumah. In other words, just like there's miracles in Kedusha, there are miracles in tumah. Pharaoh's magicians made miracles. Right? But it's evil. And like we said before, because Hashem has to make a balanced world, if there's supernatural powers in Kedusha, there has to be supernatural powers in evil. Because the world has to be equal. But Hashem said for a Jew to follow these things is completely forbidden. To the extent of Avodah Zarah. There is still witchcraft in the world, they say, and like in India and those places, there's still people that have sorcerers and...
Those people that go to the forest for 40 days and they get some energy, it's through the kilipa?
Yeah. That's what he was saying. They do these things. They used to sleep in a cemetery, which is a place of tumah, and they would starve themselves, and they would actually get powers from tumah on them. And Torah says that's completely to the extent this guy, you get killed. It's capital punishment for doing it. But you have the same things in Kedusha. You know, if even this question, you know, people, you sit at the end of the table, you're not going to get married for 7 years, you know, in the corner, you know, all those crazy things people say. They're not Torah based. They're not Torah based. What?
Another proof that you say that it's real is because if it's not real, then the other side of the Kedusha wouldn't be real either. If you want to both have power, if you say it's not real, then that means Kedusha won't be real.
Not necessarily, because I'll give you an example. Light and dark. Is darkness something or nothing?
It's something.
What is it? The absence of light.
Absence of
right? But light is something. Torah is Or, nice. And evil is Choshech. Okay? So it's not because Choshech is nothing, that doesn't mean then light is nothing. Light is something, Choshech is nothing. In other words, let me explain what that
but
means. Let me explain this. According to Torah, okay, evil exists in the world. Correct?
Yeah.
Hashem. In fact, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that we alter in the davening, right after Yishtapa, you say, Yoytzer Er, Borei Choshech, Oseh Shalom Ubarei Asakol. But that's not the Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, Yoytzer, Berech Heshech, Eiseh Shalom Ubarei Ra. We don't want to say in Davening, Ubarei Ra, so we say Ubarei Asakol. The Mepharshim of Siddur say that. Now, evil that God created is not for an end by itself. In other words, there are certain things which are a means to an end. It's a way to come to a purpose. And some things are created as a purpose by itself. It means, this I want, this I really don't want, but the only way to get what I want is by doing what I don't want. In simple English, I want to work because I need money. So I want to work to make money. Huh. Right? I really don't want to work. Unless it makes you crazy if you don't work anyway. But this is as a muscle, right? I want to work. The working is not an end. It's not a tachlis. It's not a goal by itself. The goal is to make the money. But in order to make the money, I need to work. Okay? When God created good and bad in the world, good is the ultimate purpose. Evil is only a means to come to good. Meaning, we learned this many times, good is only good when you have a choice to do evil.
If not, it doesn't mean.
If you can't do evil, like an angel, right? No evil inclination. If you're programmed only to do good, and all you could do is good, so then when you do good, you're not going to get rewarded for it. You can't get rewarded for something that that you have no choice. Why do you get rewarded? Let's say in Torah, right? I could sin. I could do mitzvahs. I choose to do a mitzvah, I get rewarded. I choose to do a sin, I get punished. But in order for good to be good, I need the ability to do bad. So when Hashem created evil in the world, evil is not an entity that's really the purpose of its creation. So therefore, it's not a real existence. The real existence is the good Torah mitzvahs that God made, which is the purpose by itself. Understand? Even let's say a yeshiva boy learns Torah. The learning Torah itself is a mitzvah, even though they might be doing it to get smicha, or to become a teacher, or to become a rabbi, or to become whatever. But the bottom line is, the learning itself is a mitzvah. You know, you see this even in a simple halacha. If a kid is in yeshiva, and they have a Gemara test on Sunday, are they allowed to review the Gemara on Shabbat for Sunday, or are they preparing from Shabbat to Sunday? You're not allowed to prepare, right? So if you have, let's say, a history test, a math test, and I want to study Shabbos for Sunday, halacha says you can, because you're really preparing from Shabbos for the weekday. So why can I study Gemara if I'm only, trust me, I'm only studying it for the test, if not, I wouldn't be learning it? The answer is because it's not a preparation. Learning Torah now is a mitzvah. I'm getting a mitzvah now. Understand? So the evil that exists in the world is not really as an end, a tachlis, a goal, a purpose by itself. All it is a secondary thing for the primary thing to be what it is.
The tools, like it.
Right. So therefore, evil is not a real existence. Evil is not a real existence. Now, in order for evil to be as powerful as Kedusha, so if there's supernatural good, you need supernatural bad. So Hashem made witchcraft, not according to the Rambam, but according to all the other opinions, that it's real. Hashem made witchcraft, that it should be powerful, and it should be real, so to speak. But the truth is, it's all evil. Even if it's real, it's evil. And therefore the Torah says, why am I making it? That you shouldn't have anything to do with it. That you shouldn't be part of it. You shouldn't have anything to do with it. And that's why the Torah forbids it. And when you give power, and that's why, by the way, it's such, who can you do witchcraft? So why should I get killed for doing witchcraft? Because you're basically denying the entire power of Kedusha. You're saying, look, evil also is just as powerful as Kedusha. If evil is as powerful, so God said, what do you mean? You're denying my whole existence, basically. My whole existence of Kedusha, you're denying by giving power and credence to evil. So Hashem says, capital punishment, you can't do it. And that's why the Torah mentions all these mitzvahs, by the way, many times. But the Torah says, Tamim tiyam Hashem alakecha, you need to be sincere with God, follow blind faith, so to speak. Blind faith with God. Whatever happens is from God, and it's good, and we'll get through it, like they say. That's the difference between all these. Okay, to be continued.